Thank you for being here.
Amen.
Tonight, we're giving flu shots. I know it seems like it's out of season, but there's all kinds of bugs out there, and we try to sterilize the church, you know? But you have to be careful because you could pick up one of those bugs and then you could come into the church and then you could give it to somebody else. Amen. The altar's open. Isn't it amazing how just one little thought can just provoke you to do something more? If you'll turn to Psalms 119, if we keep the screen down, please. Psalms 119, verse number 67, says, before, this is David, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. There must be a mistake here. That I might learn thy statutes. How many of us look at it that way? Oh, thank you for this affliction. Because now my whole heart is going to serve you. 1 Peter 5. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, settled. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Help us, God. Let it go forth unhindered. Let it accomplish exactly what you'd want tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, I was asked to do a conference in Seoul, Korea. And it was just pastors and their wives. And it was literally all of the United Pentecostal pastors of South Korea. They all came to Seoul, I was asked to minister to them. I did the best I possibly could. And after the last meeting, I had no idea what was going on within the churches, within the pastors' lives. But God just really talked to me and said, what I want you to do right now, I don't know why, but I'm telling you, this is from God. I want you to take some Kleenex. You know, it was everywhere in the building. We had to take our shoes off in order to come into their sanctuary. I preached behind their pulpit, and they had a pillow for me to stand on because that's how much they respect the Word of God. And so I said, I'd like you to take some Kleenex and just go to a neighboring pastor and just kind of wipe their feet and pray for them. Something was lost in the transition because they took their socks off, you know, and there was a move of God in that place because they were humbling themselves before each other. And what I didn't understand was there was all kinds of fractions and conflict within the ministry there. And by the end of it, God put it together in such a way that was so incredible But I took some pastor from Wisconsin. If you'll turn to Galatians, the sixth chapter, please. This message is for the person that's sitting directly next to you. Not for you, just the person next to you. So you might want to give them an elbow. Are you listening? Chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, let's qualify this. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Deal with your own situation, and then shall you be rejoicing in himself alone and not in others. Glory to God. Some time ago, someone tried to hurt my feelings, but I considered the source and found out that they were sent by God. For my perfection, to strengthen me and to settle me that I might learn God's ways, just like he did. If God loves you, and he does, then you have been enrolled in the same school. And don't be surprised by it. And don't try to analyze yourself like, well, what did I do wrong? No, we all go through the same school. Don't be surprised. God's getting us all ready for some kind of spiritual height, a promotion, another rung on the ladder. It seems like God only allows gold in heaven, and he is refining us to make us that pure gold. But somehow, we have to go through a little bit of fire. Now, there are many who are just satisfied with staying at that entry level, but God is not satisfied with us staying at that entry level. He wants us to get more pure and refined. Amen. Malachi 3:3. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levites. We are the sons of Levites. We are the ministry, if you will, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. See, the greatest offering to God is our righteousness, our living. We can come up here and we can raise our hands and clap our hands and worship God, but the greatest worship is our righteous living for God. That's where we're really worshiping God. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Have you ever been burned? It seems like people are always playing with matches around me, and I don't know who puts the matches in their hands. There's not a week that goes by that I'm not burned in effigy. I know it's mostly because of what I stand for. If I just didn't stand for, if I wasn't so rigid, if I wasn't so committed to the Word of God, I'd probably have more friends and probably a bigger church, but I wouldn't have a God that would back me up, see? It couldn't be because of my personality, because I'm a wonderful person, but I know that I'm in good company based on reading some of the letters that have been written. People like Joseph, whose brothers rejected him and sold him into slavery, nice guys. It's a cause of jealousy. He had a closer relationship with his father than they did. And they could have said, yes, I want to have that same relationship. But what they did was they attacked the brother because he was more spiritual than they were. David was burned by Saul. Saul hated David because God was with him, and God left Saul because he wouldn't do what God told him. Stephen was a friend and servant to everybody, but he got a little spiritual, more spiritual than the religious of that day, so they burned him by stoning him. Haman tried to burn Mordecai, and in the process, God burned himself. He hung on the same gallows that he built for Mordecai. We got to be careful that we don't build a gallows for somebody. Glory to God. Abel was burned by Cain. There's some things in this Bible. Hagar by Sarah. Jesus by Judas. Hey, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials that come upon us. And Job, well, Job was burned by the one who knows more about fire than anybody else, the devil himself. Satan knows if you are going to get burned, hand the matches to someone who will hurt you the most, like your best friend or your family or your husband, your wife, devout saint. Let them do the dirty work and just walk away. Plant an idea or a criticism. Job was an upright man, one that feared God and hated evil. Why should he have to go through all of this trial, all of this difficult fire? Hey, God, I've been living for you all of these years. Why do I have to put up with all of these trials? Because if you pass, God has a lot more to give you. We might be satisfied with the level that we're at, but if we pass the conflict, then all of a sudden the windows of heaven open up and we're able to see more, get closer. I mean, Paul went through it all. He listed the shipwrecks and the beatings and the robbery and all of that. But then he went up to the third heaven and saw things that nobody else was able to see. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I was raised on a farm and there was always chickens around. They're always looking down and pecking on things, you know. I'd rather be an eagle than a chicken. I like to do a little soaring, you know. Glory to God. Job got in the middle of a contest between Satan and God, something that he didn't understand. He really didn't understand. It was for his benefit, but he didn't understand why this was going on, because there wasn't a man like him at all. Job nearly lost everything that he had in a short period of time. Hallelujah. But he didn't understand why he was going through it. But in the end, he got twice what he had before. Hallelujah. Though he slay me, it's amazing how many people declare the fire of God is falling from heaven. God didn't send the fire, but he gave Satan an opening to use fire. Satan wants us to be destroyed by trial. And in fact, every day he's the accuser of the brethren, and he wants to set up a trial accusing us of something. I am so sick and tired of the politics and the accusations and the accusing and all of these things that are going. Who's doing the business of the country while we're all arguing about everything? Who's doing the business of the church when there's conflict? He wants to destroy us by trials. Every chance that he gets, he will try us, break up marriages, bring on depression, cause rebellion in our children. Just light the fire and walk away. Just start something and see what happens. And that's why we must always be on guard against being upset over little things. that we cannot release, you see. Song of Solomon 2 and 15 tells us it's little foxes that spoil the vine. Anything that preoccupies us from putting our concentration on God is a little fox, and the enemy is applauding because he's gotten us off the path and misdirected to something that all of our energy and all of our thoughts are involved in that. I was thanking God this week. It seems almost every waking moment that I have, I'm singing a song that we sing in church. I mean, it's just like it's a recording that goes on inside of me, but it's a purifier, purifying the thoughts and the things that come in, and they bounce off because there's something going on in my mind that keeps it clear on God. Amen. We have to gird up the loins of our mind. We get the victory in the place of the skull, you see. One little match starts a forest fire. Could it be a part of our refining process? Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter? Second Corinthians 2, starting in verse number 1. Paul is saying, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all." I want to come to church and I want to have joy. I want to have joy with the people of the church, you know. "For out of much affliction and anguish of the heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Here's what the enemy of our soul wants to do. He wants to create conflict among us. Amen. And because we're in such close quarters, in other words, we are a close-knit church. We come together so many times a week. We know each other. We're not like a denominational church where everybody comes in, they don't know anybody, but fall out, and there's no real fellowship within the church. We're a body of believers. We're a family, you see. You see, when someone has caused you grief, instead of holding a grudge, we, as the scriptures say, ought to rather to forgive and to comfort, lest we be swallowed up with sorrow and depression, guilt, and even hatred. I've said this before, but I've said this. I've had to go to court a number of times, and in deposition, I've simply said, you know, I really think you like me, but you have a hard time expressing yourself. Rather than getting all, you know, you expect to be accused. Folks, you should expect to be accused of something on a regular basis. Because the only open season there is on Christians. Every other lifestyle is acceptable by the world, but Christianity is not. And so we're going to be railed at. We're going to be persecuted. Hallelujah. Let God deal with it. It's not our job. Let God deal with it. It's not our job. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore in a spirit of meekness. Glory to God. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant to his devices. That the primary business of Satan and his helpers is to somehow create conflict within the body of Christ. He wants you back. Amen. The fires of anger and distrust and unfaithfulness and rebellion can burn deep into the heart and mind of those involved, and some keep smoldering that sort of thing for years and years and years. I've heard of people who, you know, been hurt so badly by their parents that they never had joy in their life ever. I remember reading an article of a man who said, my dad died 10 years ago, but I finally had to go out to the grave and just forgive him, even though he couldn't hear. But what I had to do is forgive him so I could go on with my life and have some form of joy. Because our joy is taken from us because of unforgiveness. Glory to God. And that's why it's so important to have peacemakers around at all times. They are the firefighters of the church. You don't fight fire with fire. You let the calming effect of the Holy Ghost put this out.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Euphoria that comes over you that says, who cares? See, you can't hurt my feelings without my permission. And I just won't give people permission. If there's anybody who should be shaken and out of the church, it should be me. Because I'm the biggest target in this place. But I have to understand that God's bigger than all of the accusations. And if I can come through the fire, I'm going to be pure gold. And there's going to be a greater value to my worship because I didn't do anything about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's for our perfection. It really is. And sometimes when you're going through it, if you could understand that this is a promotion in progress, you know, if I can get through this, there's something at the end of it, you know. Any of you go to work all week and not expect a paycheck? Well, the conflict is very similar to that. If you'll just go through this, if you'll just keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48 and 10. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of, wait, that can't be right. In the furnace of affliction. That's how he refines us, folks. It really does. And, you know, I guess I could say, hey, you're all right, I'm all right, everything's going to be wonderful, God's going to take care of it, there'll never be any problems in your life. But then when conflict comes, and it will come, then you're going to wonder, what's wrong with me? See, now you're not saying, what's wrong with me? I'm not surprised, you see. God's doing something in me. He's not looking for wishy-washy, weak Christians. Amen. He knew before Job went through the trial that he could handle it. And the same is true for each and every one of you. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Familiar scripture to me, to most of you. Verse number 13, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as is common to a man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So it's going to be common. It's not a result of God doesn't love me. It's a matter of how are you going to handle it? How is God going to make a way for me to get through this, you see? Paul's greatest epistles were written from prison. John's book of Revelation was written in exile. Chances are there was nobody else around on that island except him and God. Except for Christ's sorrow and pain, there would be no redemption. The devil wanted him to take another way than go to the cross. And David said in Psalms 119 and 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That's what David is saying. Here's what I have learned. When fire comes, I will not let it destroy me. God will take you through the fire and hand you a promotion at the same time. He's always going to be there for us. Now, if I have done wrong, I need to confess as fast as I possibly can. Every morning, we get a fresh start. If you'll turn to Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, are you a witness? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So we find that we have to get rid of those weights that so easily beset us, those things that happen to everybody, conflict everybody has. But don't let those wastes, those conflicts, take you out of the race. I need to forgive as fast as I can. Because unconfessed sin and things that are not forgiven will eventually destroy us or take us away or ruin the relationship we have with God. Because if I've got a conflict with somebody else, how in the world can I have a relationship with God? Just doesn't make sense. I've said this before. Some of you have heard it. When I first came into the church, there was a man who volunteered to teach a Bible study to my mother and my sister. And I had already gone through maybe three or four 10-week Bible studies. I was so excited about it, but I just didn't feel like I was qualified at the time. Well, he did a terrible job, just a terrible job. Brought in standards in like the second lesson, you know, and by the fourth lesson, my mother said, "I'm sorry, I'm not coming back to this ever. If that's the way it is." So here I am, a brand new saint. I have the level of faith to believe that God can do anything, but here's somebody who didn't take the time to pray, fast, and really put together a Bible study that, and I'll tell you, it just about ruined me. And I remember going up to the altar on a Sunday morning and saying, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but I'll tell you what, I don't want anything to come between you and I. Somehow, in the next month or 2 months, you got to heal me of this whole thing, and because I don't want to live this way." It's all I'm thinking of is, why didn't you? So I got up from the altar, I walked towards the front pew, and this guy came up behind me, put his arm around me, and said, "I am so sorry, I love you, and I did not do a good job. I will be praying and fasting for your mother and for your sister." And the power of God just came over me, and it was gone, just gone. I thought God could do it in at least 2 months, easy. But if you want to hold on to it, you can. But as long as you hold on to it, it will destroy you and your relationship with God. I mean, I was as dumb as a rock when it came to spirituality. But I knew one thing, I can't allow anything to come between my God and me. And I knew this was. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 13:5, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, he wasn't just speaking of sinners. Every day, I repent. Pastor, every day there's sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission. Things that I should have done that I didn't do, and I need to repent. I need to say, "God, help me. This is me. This is flesh. And I am never going to be able to be perfect in your eyes, but help me, God." Amen. Jesus also said in Matthew 6:15, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Hallelujah. Every day I have a new opportunity to repent and forgive. But if I don't, there's going to be a firestorm in my life. There's going to be problems. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Starting in verse number 1. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. People love you so much. I want to tell you what, you know. You know, when we're praying for people who have operations and sickness and things, is there a comfort that is transmitted from us to them? You see? For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye were, that you sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this self-same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. I want a clear conscience when I walk into the church. Hallelujah. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Doesn't matter if you've done wrong or you were wronged. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, this book is full of it. And you know why? Because it's common unto all men. Every one of us aren't going to walk into the throne of God unless we go through this process. And we help each other go through the process. Amen. The only one who can right situations is our God. Me telling somebody else is going to help the situation. It's going to prolong the situation, you see. And we find in Zechariah, the 13th chapter, our last scripture, if our musicians would come. Zechariah 13 and verse number 9, it says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them," who? The people who have been refined as silver and gold. "I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Because they've been refined. They've gone through the process. There's a process. Hallelujah. Brother Portman said Sunday morning, you know, you define your maturity not by the number of years you're in the church or how old you are, but what you've gone through and what responsibilities that you have taken. Glory to God. Amen. I've gotten to a level of maturity, really, folks, that none of these things bother me anymore. I'm expecting that there are going to be accusations and attacks on my character all of the time. You know, this week wasn't any different than any other week. But I know what I believe, and I know what God wants me to do, and I know because if I'll stand for righteousness and go through the fire and the conflict, that I have a greater value in my worship and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But about 6 weeks into the church, I could have bailed. Not because of somebody outside, but because of somebody inside that has failed me. And I wonder how many people have run for the hills because, well, somebody hurt them. Amen. And maybe even me. Perhaps I said something that hurt them. But you parents who have disciplined your children, you're expecting that there will be a reward. They will be the person that you want them to eventually be. The same is true in the church, folks. Amen. Glory to God. So, the flu shot was given. Amen. The sanctuary is sterilized. Amen. But Sunday morning, we'll have booster shots for everybody. Protect yourself. Wash your hands all the time. Wash your mind all of the time. Amen. So you're not bugged by something. Amen. Glory to God. As Paul said, you are my joy. And that's exactly how I feel. When I see you doing well, you are my joy. You are what propels me deeper. It gives me a greater zeal for God. You do that. Amen. When you show up for service, you can't understand how much it encourages me. And even though I'm going to be knocked down again this coming week, when people show up and they're loving God and worshiping God, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?